the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
place.
Wake
up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? Welcome. The Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Why do I sound horrible?
That's just you.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah? I can't hear myself.
Really?
Peter has me messing with everything. Oh, it was mine. That's why. Hey, welcome to the show.
Did Wake you not up. Have your volume turned up?
I was trying to fix his the whole time. He's sitting there looking at me like, is anybody else loud? And I'm like, no, all right. Loud, now,
why don't you just pay attention to yours? You're the host. It's your
I know.
Show.
I should.
Blast into my, you know what?
I won't thanks. I need to take notes. By Peter Leonard, by the way, welcome back. Who hasn't been on the show for, you know, he
about
retired
four
from
weeks,
the show.
Five, no, longer than that. Yes,
yeah. Yeah. And our ratings have skyrocketed since.
Yeah, that's great.
And, how do you calculate ratings on this?
Yeah, we get viewers. Hits, we get man. Sponsors and
yeah, right
views.
Right now
on
you have six.
Yeah, it's not too bad. No. And special guests from the Paul Castronova show, producer Rob Calvert.
There you go.
And, you know. Got to know as a friend of the show now. I'm one of Paul, right? Is that Paul and friends?
Well, unless you keep performing like you did last time. You
no,
that's what gonna... I heard, man. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Listen, I get the reviews. I talk to Paul.
Yeah?
I get emails. I get.
I added. Somebody called and I was asking questions, trying to, you know, get, yeah. You know.
We like to make you uncomfortable in the first 1 minute of your own show.
Exactly. Right. Making me all concerned. Like, what's wrong? What's the matter?
Yeah, you're a comic. You're not insecure at all.
No.
No, seriously. Did you? I know they all laughed at that, but did you like it?
Yeah. It's like when you first start as a comic, every time you get off stage, you always ask people, how'd I do?
I had a friend of mine. He actually opened for George Carlin. Like, got to do a 20-minute set, and he killed. He was fantastic. He walks off stage. The first thing he says to me was, do you think that was okay? And I go, dude, everybody stood up.
Yeah.
Everybody clapped. Everybody enjoyed it. No, but what about that one bit? Because I thought I delivered it wrong. Would you shut the...
Yeah. That's just
enjoy your moment,
just fishing.
Listen, they're all insecure, man. Every one of these comics I ever worked with, I ran the New York Comedy Club 7 years as manager, and this guy came up there, everybody, all these people, I met 1,000 comedians. They're all insecure, right, Dougie?
I think so. I think for the most part.
You got to be, you have to be loved. I mean, I know myself, and you know, as a musician, and all that other bullshit, I'm very insecure, and I do it. I always got to, did you? And if I make cook a meal for somebody, Rob, you're a chef. You know, I got to ask you 20 times if you like it. Oh, did you like it? Did you really like it? You know, because I'm just such a fucking insecure person like that.
I had a buddy of mine who was a filmmaker in Philadelphia back when I lived there for like 9.5 years, and he wanted to do a documentary about the fun-filled life of an on-the-road comic who was just on the verge of making it. And I was like, dude, that's going to be the most depressing documentary. It'll be great for 50 to 70 minutes each night. It'll be fantastic.
Right.
It's that other 23 hours that's going to depress the shit out of you.
Well, like what do you do? Like, I don't know. There's certain things I do before a show. You know, there's certain rituals. But
you
know.
Can you say that on the air?
Huh?
It's not on the air, it's over the computer. He can say whatever he wants.
Does it involve Vaseline?
No.
Oh, okay. You're okay, man.
You know, but there's a ritual when I'm on the road as a married man. You know, I like to save up as a married guy. So when I come home, my
wife... give her the porn star shot?
Yeah. Do my Peter North impression.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And then the wife feels, oh, my God.
I love when you make a reference like Peter North and then somebody in the room inevitably goes, who? Like, really?
Really? Okay, exactly. Sure. Like, yeah, on the show, I made a reference to Rosie Grier.
Yes.
There was that what, the person in Subway who attacked the customers had a knife, and they said it was a woman, and it was she had a beard. Mm-hmm. And she looked like Rosie Grier. Remember Rosie Grier?
Rosie Grier tackled Sirhan Sirhan when he shot Robert Kennedy in the fucking hotel in Vegas.
Great
LA.
Bit, you know, yeah.
That's the most famous thing he was, you know, I mean, he's a big football player, but, you know.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
He smashed him. He was a big Bobby Kennedy fan, and he was walking Bobby with this other guy because they came in through the kitchen.
Right.
And Sirhan pulled that shit, and then he body slammed that motherfucker. And
I just remember him. When I was a kid, we had a TV show when we got home from school called The Great Space Coaster.
Yeah.
And Rosie Grier was on it singing a song called It's All Right to Cry.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I remember that at this particular moment, but that's the extent of
I remember
my
that,
Rosie
the great roller coaster, whatever. Space Coaster.
Obviously, you remember.
He was the first NFL player to come out of the closet, Rosie Grier.
Was he?
No, I'm just kidding.
That guy.
You're filled with fun facts. He also was the fourth person to walk on the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
nobody didn't notice that. Actually,
the first three astronauts walked on him. They thought he was the moon.
All
big
right.
Fucking guy.
Slow down.
No, he was huge, Rosie.
That's the comedy.
He's a big guy. But that's who
only get.
That's I referenced that. I referenced that guy.
Enormous.
You know, I thought about him. I couldn't think of anybody. To me, there was no better depiction of this Subway employee than Rosie Grier.
It was accurate, and the three people who understood the reference were laughing their asses off and had to pull over the side of the
road. You're going to tell me the people in the Paul Casanova audience, which are mostly middle age, older, you know.
I think Paul got it.
Yeah, well, that's all that matters.
All I can say is, you're one of the former female partners on that show. Once, when she first started, someone called up. You guys were doing the top movie stars of all time, right? Somebody called up, Paul Newman. She goes, the salad dressing guy.
Well, you know what? But
and
that's
I
the thing.
Fucking dude, I almost slammed my
but
car
here,
into
here's
a
the
wall.
Thing. You know, remember when Paul McCartney and Kanye West did their collaboration?
Yeah.
And I was again working on this classic rock show in Philly, and you had Twitter going up with, I don't know who this Paul McCartney guy is, but he's got quite a future. He's really good.
Yeah.
He's some 23-year-old person exactly. Who's never heard of him, and
this
it's
guy's
all relative.
Got some talent.
That's very true. Or you on YSP or something?
I mean, there was
what
so
station.
MGK with DiBella.
Oh nice. Yeah. How is John?
I haven't talked to him in a while, but he seems to be doing well.
Gotten
show's
the
doing
way.
Well.
All right, this isn't what's happening in fucking radio.
Well,
this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
We're the guests, and we dictate content.
Does it? Listen,
there are people who've worked at real stations.
Hold on. Peter.
You know what I mean?
All right, here we go.
Dougie, what did you want to talk about?
No, I'm just saying.
So you had nothing. Back to this.
No, he's got a snake in it. I had a snake in my backyard this morning.
Well, I do want to talk about the fact, you know, we're talking about, like I had a scare because I thought my dog had some sort of intestinal blockage.
Yeah.
Right?
And it wasn't from a marijuana cigarette this
time. No, which, you know, that's a famous story here on the show. One time Peter left a half a bone out there on the table, and my dog ate it. And we got done with the show. He walked out. My dog was stumbling all over the kitchen.
Actually, he was playing jazz music. He was eating a yodel.
Yeah. He was looking in the fridge.
He's standing outside. Instead of looking to go out, he just goes, hey, man. Dude.
Doesn't that cloud look like a cat?
Yeah. But he was up all night and shit and stuff. And so I kept thinking, he ate a lychee.
Yeah,
my wife had lychee. You know, the big nut, the big fruit thing with
sure,
the shell
yeah.
and
but
the pit in it.
Your wife said he had a lychee, which is, you know, at least say it correctly.
It's a lychee.
Okay,
and he ate the thing, fell, and she ate the whole thing. But this is like a week ago.
Yeah,
so I'm thinking this guy's got this, you know, lychee nut in his intestine.
He's got three nuts now.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
ET, the extra testicle.
And then the minute you call the vet, they're like, oh yeah, bring him in. We got X-rays, and you know, $500, $800, $1,000.
My kid needs a fucking crown. Please bring the dog in. You know.
Yeah.
I said to my dentist the other day, I got two crowns put in my mouth, and you know, I love the guy, and he cut me a deal because I refer a lot of people to him, and I'm lying there. I got the nitrous. He gives me nitrous just to take an X-ray. You know, I love the guy. He's strapped. Yeah. You know. So, who is it? Need to make a call?
No. By the way, did you keep your pants on for this one?
No.
Go ahead.
You know what? I will tell you something funny. I had a colonoscopy last week also, and I was done. The guy, you know, the surgeon says, "You came out okay.
No polyps.
We're going to biopsy one thing, but he says, by the way, it's okay to get an erection during the procedure." I said, I don't think I had an erection. He goes, no, I did.
There you go.
So But this thing with the...
I thought you were going to follow that with, I ask for two fingers for a second opinion. No!
No, where's the flowers? Where's the dinner?
Hey, Doc,
whole arson.
Hey, Doc, this is a new...
A prostate exam, should you have both your hands on my shoulders?
Yeah.
See, he got his one in there, too.
Well, you might as well if you're going to throw him out there.
One in a room.
Yeah.
God.
No, but they did find the nickel I swallowed when I was four.
See?
You know, Indian
the hits
head.
Just keep on coming.
Indian head, and it went up to 14 yeah. cents. So
I had a cousin. Well, I still have a cousin, as a matter of fact. He's an oral surgeon in Kentucky. But when he was doing his residency in emergency rooms, he was in Cook County Hospital in Chicago. And every time he had to pull something out of somebody's ass,
yeah.
he'd call me.
Yeah.
So the first time it was the shattered light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody decided that they wanted to stick a light bulb up their ass.
Yeah.
And it shattered. And then he was sitting there going, trying to explain why it was there. Like, he just accidentally sat on the light bulb.
Yeah. What?
The next one.
I was replacing him with some illuminescent.
What?
You know, energy-saving bulbs.
What? Now, I'm asking you, what? Was it 30, 60, 90?
I don't know. It was shattered. It was
three-way.
It was three-way. It was shattered, yeah. and it was stained. Yeah. Then the second one was back in the days when ketchup bottles came in glass bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody took an empty one and stuck it up there, but the air pressure. They couldn't pull it out, so one engineering mind in the medical profession decided to drill a hole in the bottom of it to equalize the pressure.
Brilliant.
Like those microbreweries, when you put the glass down, it comes right up.
Yeah. Exactly.
See, when I do it, I leave the cap on.
Well, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
But you're thinking ahead. And then the third one was the Rubik's Cube keychain.
Oh, wow.
Holy, the keychain?
Yeah.
You know, somebody's sitting there going, I wonder how this feels up my ass.
Well, what was great about it was when he pulled it out, it was all put
it was
together.
Solved.
It was solved.
Right. I'm a smart ass. Hey, I hit it first.
See, there you go.
Nice one.
Well working blending here.
Congratulations. Yeah. Anyway, you can have the magic eight ball.
Nobody wanted to play
they had
with
answers.
That.
Thank you.
Nobody
Look at this.
Wanted to play with that.
Will Peter Leonard ever wear shorts that fit?
Why don't they fit? Come on. Just because, listen. Let's not talk about size in this room.
I mean, well, you're 5'3". I wouldn't either.
No, please. You know, huh?
This guy.
What? I'm 5'4". I beg your pardon.
Oh, I'm sorry. With your flip-flops on.
Everyone's the same height laying down.
Till my surgery.
That's right.
I said, I've had spine surgery.
We talk about Facebook and stuff. Peter, you're no stranger to like drama on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I love it. Can drive controversy.
Yeah, but Facebook fight between a keyboard gangsters ends up with a shooting. Hear about that story?
That's me.
Well, you know, people say people are on Facebook, they're yelling at each other, whether it's politics or all kinds of stuff they're getting. So how long would it be before somebody got in the car and went to someone's house? And
never post your fucking address on your Facebook ID.
It has nothing to do with that. All you need to do is have a subscription to one of these whitepages.com things.
Yeah.
If you're not smart enough to go onto those pages and insist that your information is removed,
right.
then anybody can pay $5, $10 a month to search on anybody they want to and find out just about anything.
Right.
Yeah, and if you got certain friends, like, if you have a driver's tag, you can find out stuff too. Mm-hmm. Florida man responded to a friend's post about President Donald Trump.
What a surprise. Politics started it?
His response wasn't about Trump. It was about a felon voting rights. And that's when a squabble between the two 40-something men exploded into a flurry of private messages and took an ugly turn. See, once he gets a private message, that's when you're like, look, dude.
I got one of those last night.
You did?
Got a friend. I was at this radio convention. So there's a whole slew of people who I've met, but you know when you meet like 100 people, you remember like six names and everybody else says, hey, dude.
Right.
And so I get a friend request from somebody, so I said accept. And within seconds, hello, how are you? And I'm like, okay, this isn't a radio guy. This is a spammer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I type in, who are you? Oh, I just use my dad's account to reach out and say hi to people. Go away. You're an asshole. You're a cocksucker. I'm just trying to be nice. I go, you're a spammer. Go away. Block the guy. I don't know who it was. Don't care.
Wow.
I never accept any of these friend requests. Half the time, you scroll through it, and some chick with
hot chicks.
And I know, but it says last post 2014.
Nah, they don't have any
2014.
I love
what the fuck?
When I get
they're
these.
So
you recognize the woman, right?
Yeah.
And you know, because all the friends are a bunch of these dudes that look their profile photos look like they're.
Yeah. From Saudi Arabia.
You know, they got their dick in their hand while they took the photo.
Yeah.
I this would be a funny compilation to get of all these faces together on these guys that are on those pages, that the ones who fall for it and become friends.
And then they comment on on her pictures. Like, there's a picture where she just happened to be on the beach in a thong, bending over in the perfect light, and that's her Facebook page.
That's right.
And then you see the same guys going, "Yo, baby, you beautiful." Call in. Like, she's going to respond.
Yeah, you follow me on Twitter. Y-U.
And you know what was else? When I lived in Narberth, Pennsylvania, I used to get spammed with all these hot chick friend requests.
Right.
Every one of them was from Narberth, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they find
Narberth, Pennsylvania had 1,000 people in it.
Right. Because
none of them looked like that.
Like, sometimes they seem to come from my hometown. Like, if I'm in Coral Springs, they'll say, "Hey, this girl's in Coral Springs."
Exactly.
Meanwhile, the profile photo has a mountain behind it.
Dude, you know what they're doing now with these the phone calls to your cell phone?
Yeah,
this
is getting nuts.
They're calling you for the first three numbers of your exchange. I get a lot of them now from 822.
It looks like your number. I ignore them all the time now.
And that's the thing, because they've got your...
Decline.
Season. Right.
My mortgage company, calls me from the 1st to the 15th every goddamn day.
Why?
We pay
how many months behind are you?
For the last several years, right. It's paid on the 15th of the month.
Right.
Like it always has. Never changes. If you look on the history of the payment, you'll see the 15th the money was received.
Right.
But they want to call me from the 1st to the 15th every day.
Right.
Comes from Greenville, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you call them and say...
I used to argue. Why do you keep calling me? I went through that. But now, listen, modern technology, buddy. I look on the phone. I go, decline. Right. I'm not going to answer the phone.
First of all,
I'm
you
not
can
gonna
block that number. You block that number. Don't you know that?
Yeah, but then they're gonna block, whatever.
Why don't you take 2 weeks off, then go to Greenville, North Carolina, and then every day give him 1/10 of the mortgage check?
Yeah, that might work. I'm actually going to be in Greenville at Comedy Zone in November.
You should invite them to come.
You're welcome
to the
for
show.
The plugging opportunity.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a phone call from Greenville.
So all we're saying is
right now,
give peace a chance.
Yeah. Gotcha. Oh,
Tampa police say 44-year-old Brian Sebring faces felony charges of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon and carrying a concealed gun.
Well, oh, boy.
He told the news he just snapped. It's all primal rage, man. When he left work early on Monday, went home to get his gun and headed to the home of 46-year-old Alex Stevens.
Is that a porn star?
Could be.
No.
Kind of
like,
shitty story is this?
I'm not feeling this one.
No?
Me neither. Dude, you know what happened last night? Three in the morning, some fucking airline employee stole an airplane.
Yeah.
And then crashed it.
And he crashed it.
After doing stunts.
Right. Not a little plane. A fucking...
It was like a
bi-wing
or something.
Boeing 740s. He stole a huge plane.
He was a mechanic at the airport. Right.
And he didn't... Yeah, he figured he'd try to learn to... He flew it.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to land.
I don't think he cared about it.
He went to the same flight school as the guys with the World Trade shit.
Well, you know, we don't want
to learn how to land it.
Now, listen, if you're going to kill yourself, that's the way to do it.
You're not kidding.
You know every single one of these people, like, somebody's going to go, "Hey, did you hear how so-and-so did with the..." Well, how did he die? He stole a plane, did some stunts with it, rolled it, and then crashed it and died. And every one of this guy's friends is going, "Well, that's probably how he'd want to go."
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Now, if there was three
Good
chicks on the
him.
Plane with him, he might be an
Idiot.
Asshole. He killed them.
Well, listen, that's like Bruce
Almighty.
No, Bruce, who
Willis.
Owned all of Harley Davidson's in Florida. Bruce Rossmeyer.
Rossmeyer, yeah.
This guy fucking died at Sturgis on a bike ride. He was the last guy, you know, they were driving around.
Right.
And here he's a fucking millionaire. Why is he, he's 60-some-odd, 70. Why are you on this fucking ride?
Because
the truck,
he
goes around, he's going to pass somebody, a truck, bam, boom, goodbye.
Gone.
Done.
Yeah. You ever ride a motorcycle?
Yes, I have.
Do you though?
Not at the moment.
Yeah, I'm not gonna.
I can take. I like it better when there's lots of country roads and not interstates. I think when you're roaming around and looking at the world, it's much better than looking at traffic and the person who's trying to T-bone you while they're trying to beat the semi in front of you.
Right.
By the way, this guy went to his house, honked his horn, was outside, and shot him or something. So.
Listen.
That was a great story.
That was Chicago. That was the last 10 minutes in Chicago.
Yeah.
What are you fucking talking about?
I just got
about?
Back from Chicago. I didn't see one person get shot.
No.
Last weekend, there were 23 murders from Friday night to Sunday.
They got it out of their system. They knew we were visiting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get here before the...
It's going to be great.
You guys go to Bowling? See the Cubs at all?
We had rooftop outside of the... on Sheffield Avenue. Just,
right.
On the right field side.
Podwell go? Born Larry Podwell won't make that trip?
Podwell did. Yes.
I'll tell you what, man. My boy Rizzo, Larry Punk, my friend known Sky for 100 years, man. Fucking Chicago's coming back, man. They're in first place again. Rizzo's starting to hit.
And Red Sox are the team to beat.
By the way, that is a great place to get food.
Chicago?
Yeah. I got to go there for the first time some years ago at the World Series of Comedy Satellite.
My favorite Thai restaurant in the country is in Chicago.
Really?
The Star of Siam.
Really? What's your dish?
Astounding.
What's your dish?
Well, I
the
was
left
with,
side of the menu.
I was. This is where you throw in the cream of some young guy joke.
No, I'm not going to go there.
So I was with two people who had never had Thai food.
No.
So I got them the chicken satay, the lemongrass soup, and then we all just kind of picked out. I got the curry. They got the pad Thai.
It nice mild for them, or do you want a little spice for them, or no?
Their palate is not my problem.
Right. Yeah.
No, but I'm saying. But I'm saying
they ordered. What they wanted to order.
Asking you if they made the mistake. Yo, I'll have the 5-star. They set their cock on fire.
They all handle
they're,
spice.
They're all grown ups, Peter.
You've never, they're grown ups. They've never had Thai sprinkles. Food.
Well, no, listen, my girlfriend, if they say scale of 1 to 10, she gets a 0.
Oh, okay.
And, I get. What's 10? Can you boost it just a little bit?
So you go to 11?
It's like the Spinal Tap.
Like my wife, she everything. She puts hot sauce on ice cream. Yeah. I mean, it's like everything. It's like she'll laugh at you, like, oh, you want to really, I'm like, my wife's like, yeah, go ahead. And she's like, she laughs like, I got it.
Do her voice again?
No, that's more like the.
Do her voice again.
He's a halfway?
Is that your wife's voice?
Give me a minute here, will you?
Yep.
He's a good boy.
I love when she cuts my eye. I say, how are the dogs? She goes, dog fine.
Dog fine.
Dog fine. she's lovely.
No, she speaks much better than that. It's a caricature. My voice is a caricature.
By the way, she's not home, man. I need my nails done.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot. You know what? There's only two places you could take that joke. One of them in the nails.
Well, at least you use some good taste.
Listen, we've been friends for 10 years. We used to do, I did a show, this show for 4 fucking years. We've been scream and yell. And he's one of my best friends. I love this kid.
Yeah. What are your commenters saying?
Nothing.
What are they saying? They hate us.
Skippy Sprinkles. Joe Gonzalez says, by the way, it's the weekend. And toss the bottled water. Get some ice cold Sam Adams. I like some Sam Adams.
I'm going to go tequila.
Yeah?
Go to the
vodka. My doctor told me, we found a new family physician. So I had to get blood tests and all this stuff again. And it was interesting because I asked for the HIV test, although my wife and I have been together, married 13, 25.
But she works in the nail place.
Yeah, but I don't trust fucking like Peter coming in, like asking for a special hand job. So
I don't have to ask.
They don't have to be that special.
Yeah.
I don't have to ask.
Exactly. All right, we got it the first time, dipshit. All right.
You're talking to him, right?
Of course I was.
Okay, good.
Here's something I want to talk about.
Me too.
You know what? Like you said, some fucking asshole gets in a plane, crashes it. Thank God, not into a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Now, what you don't hear much about is a story about this Muslim guy, the cleric, the son of the cleric out in Nevada or Arizona that had the compound of kids they found out there.
Oh, training kids.
And they were training kids to do fucking school shootings.
I wish I could have enrolled my son there. Maybe he wouldn't be a bookie today. You know what I mean? No, seriously.
I think
that's good discipline, Rob.
But
you don't have children, do you?
The Supreme Court just legalized sports betting, so there's no shame in being a bookie.
Right.
Right now, it's the aside from
being on
the ground floor,
aside
from being on the ground floor of the pot boom, once that became decriminalized in those states, now the bookies are going to go legit, and they're going to get jobs in the casinos, and they're going to run them like Robert De Niro in casinos.
No, but you have to be connected, and he's Jewish, and it's going to be a bad thing. Although the Kosher Nostra said they'd take him in.
Always follow the money. If he makes money, someone will bring him in.
That's true, man. We don't talk. He gave me New England in the Super Bowl. Anyway,
I beat Pagano. I won a bet against Pagano in the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah,
did you, Ralph Pagano? Sure. Yeah,
yeah.
He was,
and 2 minutes before the game when they did that punt, and Pagano goes, "You still have time to double your money." And he wanted to actually go double or nothing on that.
Wow.
Wow. And you said no.
He's a big gambler.
Here's the thing. With Philadelphia sports teams, if they're an underdog in a big game or if if they've got a chip on their shoulder, never bet against that team.
Oh, yeah.
Even if they're having a 2-14 season, if you give them the one game where they get the chip on their shoulder and an
attitude. That's the game to win.
That's the guy, the guys
are going to get riled up.
They're at the very least going to make the spread.
We'll still be in last place. Quarterback this year, though, man. Nick Fails, he back? I mean,
it'll be Wentz.
Hey, while I was talking about that on Miami Dolphins, yeah. See their preseason game. They may have a running game. And they may have a running game and some receivers.
And Tannehill actually looked comfortable.
Yeah.
Listen, he threw four passes.
He looked horrible when he scrambled.
And he threw one. The longest pass was 15 yards.
The other guys look good. The backup guys look pretty good. That one young kid's got an arm.
Yep, he sure does. And I got news for you. I hope Tannehill breaks his leg this year again. And they stick this fucking kid in. I'm telling you,
that's not a way to start it.
I work for these people. I watch these football. I can't stand it. You know,
Do you like Tannehill when he does commercials? Because Dan Marino is the greatest quarterback Miami ever had,
right?
And the greatest, like, you know, TV man,
one of the best pitchmen,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, Tannehill falls short of the pitchman a little bit.
Until they had a love child.
Did you watch the resort one where he says in a Family Guy, and you watch that? You know,
he looks so, you know. They should just let his wife do the commercials. Hi, I'm Lauren Tannehill for my husband, Ryan.
That's mean.
And let her look at, I'd rather look at her. Those big tits, blonde hair.
You know,
let him stand in the background going, you know, panting or something.
Maybe you should put your earphones on.
She can sell a lot more cars
than
he can, trust me. You're wrong, right or wrong, man?
I stopped listening.
Female appeal?
Yeah. Obviously, you can tell by his demeanor that he's friends with the guy.
Yeah, we're tight. Yeah.
Yeah, Daniel spends a lot of time with
him. He's in my phone right now. Hey, Ryan, what's up? I don't even have to say my name.
Right.
We need a good quarterback. We need a team. It'd just be nice to have a winning season. Listen, you know, I'm not a big football fan.
How long has it been, though?
It's been forever.
You guys haven't even been 8-8.
I had friends that had like season tickets. They're like, oh, gotta get rid of these things.
They went to the playoffs last year. What was their record? The year before,
like 5-4 or some ridiculous.
They're 8. They were like 8-7 or some shit. They were like, well,
it was 8-8 or 9.
And they did well because they ended up playing like the shit teams, the Clevelands and everything,
right?
And getting and then winning is one decent game.
Buffalo.
They won. Yeah.
Listen to that.
Well, they have to play Buffalo twice a year.
The Jets. They beat the Jets. You know. Another shit team.
Buffalo.
That's my team, man. Rob, where are you from originally?
Cincinnati.
So are the Bengals your team, or do you still root for the Bengals? Are you one of those guys when you want to live in the city?
Paul Castronovo does not believe in this mentality, but I stand firmly by it. At one point, I was a season ticket holder, even in the really bad years of the Bengals, like the David Shula era.
Wow.
And then to the Eagles, now to the Dolphins. I'm a fan of whoever beats the spread.
Oh, because you're a gambling guy.
Yeah, I just like watching football.
Right.
I'm one of those guys who will go to like a sports bar and watch every TV.
San
at the
Diego
same time.
Versus, yeah. I mean, even the, yeah. some sick fucking
yeah.
teams.
I mean, in fact, the best $5 you will ever spend in your life is when you go at 10 in the morning to a Vegas sports book.
Yeah.
You put $5 down on any team, whatever you want, and then just sit there with that same ticket in your hand for 9 straight hours while they give you free beer after free beer after free beer. Because I bet my money and I'm watching the game, and they don't stop you. They don't charge you.
You're kidding me.
No. You can spend 9 hours and just
and they don't pay. You have to pay.
Nope.
I didn't know that, man.
It's a lot better than trying to do that at a blackjack table.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah. You know, that's a big – I love playing. I love going there and blackjack, but there's too many times. You know, I'm at the point now where I go blackjack. Once I'm up, you know, double or triple up my pot, like I go in with 100. If I got 200 or 300, bump, gone, done. Mm.
Here's
I ain't sticking
rule.
Around.
Double your money, go to the bar.
Get the hell out.
I don't like to gamble, man. I've been married twice, bro.
Yeah, he learns the hard way.
You know, I lost twice.
Why doesn't Florida have craps?
Don't they have that?
No, there's no casino in Florida has craps tables.
Hmm. That's the real stuff, then.
That's the most fun.
That's where I still got to learn that fucking game. Everybody says you just got to end up going and playing and you'll learn it that way.
Go with somebody who knows what they're doing.
Right.
And just watch them for an hour.
Hmm.
Then ask the dealers questions. They'll actually answer them. And then you won't lose $100 on 2 rolls of the dice and go, what happened?
Yeah, what was I doing? Hey, by the way, it's that time.
Oh, shit.
Thanks, Peter.
What do you mean it's that time?
Oh. And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
That's right. So, time straight for the headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them.
Okay, so you just did those 5 stories beforehand. What makes these stories different?
Because these are opening show. Like when I
see this guy produces
about,
a radio show.
I get it.
A real fucking radio station.
I get it.
Not some bedroom. You know.
But you
with
said these are international
piss stains.
Now, this might be the clarification, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
The previous batch of stories, were they all domestic?
Yeah.
So there was nothing even in Canada.
No. That was all like...
So now every one of these are outside of the United States.
Maybe. No, they're not. They, listen, sometimes I see certain things happening. Like the opening of the show, we talk about it could have been something I'd gone through. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like I'm going to talk about my dog and his intestinal potential obstructions.
You did talk about that.
Well, we tried to. And whatever. So that was kind of, we got into that. And then it just hit me that... There's actually the story when you read that there's a bunch of fucking kidnapped kids in some in some shit desert floor, you know, being trained how to fucking kill people in a high school.
Within our borders.
Yeah.
It's insane.
You know what I mean? And so
in the membrane.
But nobody cared about that. You talk about fucking football.
Guess what? I don't care about
it. You know, that's why to me I'm just amazed. But that's what
you know. Here's the thing. I don't think it's that. I don't want to speak for you, but I don't think it's that you don't care. It's just we hear this crap so often now that we're becoming kind of desensitized to it. Really? That's happening? No shit. Okay.
Yep.
I'm not surprised anymore.
How can society hear that and not be concerned about, like, let's say the way of the law? And you know what I mean? It's like everybody's so like, oh, let's fucking do this or let's do this or
because
let's do
that. Because there's a level of indifference that's taken over this country. And this is not a liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican, blah, blah, blah. I could give two shits about what your politics are. Yeah. But right now there is a level of indifference. I don't care what the greater good is. I just want my side to win so I can be right.
Right. Nobody's going to go back and eat shit.
And what people don't realize is that both sides of both parties are bought and paid for by the same corporations and nothing's ever going to get done.
Or change. Mm. Listen, do you all this shit with these kids?
I approved of that message, by the way.
Yeah.
These kids, all right? These refugee kids separated from their parents, living in this thing. They're over here. They're over there. How much do you really care about that? You, Dougie Almeida, living in Coral Springs, comedian, financial planner.
How much do I care
about it? No, seriously. Enough to do something about it? Enough to, like, send a dollar? Did you send a care package?
You do what everybody else does. You say, I took a stand by posting something stupid on Facebook and then deleting anybody who insulted you.
Right, or disagree with it. I swear to God. Now, and these parents, these kids, you don't have kids. Do you have kids?
No.
All right, you better step up. I got news for you. I would, as a parent... I would absolutely have to say that at least 50% of these fucking parents don't want those kids back, and they leave them there just for the fuck of it. Honest to God,
I don't know. There's when anybody when somebody's trying to escape things and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're escaping horrors, then this isn't great, but it's not the horrors you left.
Yeah.
You know, if you're seeking asylum, there's a process.
Yeah, these are the fun horrors.
Yeah, these are air conditioned horrors. Mm-hmm. You know, these are, you know what I mean? These are, I got a bed, you know, I got a fucking food being fed.
Right.
You know,
it's a sweater.
It's the imagery, the thing, it's always, it's like anything. And it's on, like you said, it's all about this, it's all about where we're like being fed this shit. It's the decisions they make and the words they use, like, you know, the cages and the atrocities and this and that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I had a friend of mine, real good friend of mine, compared it to like the, you know, sending Jews to the gas chamber and slaves to the ships. I'm like, really? you're gonna put the Holocaust disaster in line with the, you know what I mean? It's like,
well, it's because they didn't go to the slave ship illegally.
Mm. Yeah,
which is, you don't want your kid taken. You know, that's the big argument on one side. You don't want your kid taken. Wait, don't come here illegally. I don't think the slaves really had that choice.
No, well, yeah, they, you know,
no, they didn't. It's very hard to pick those locks.
Thank you.
You know, back then,
it's horrible.
We have more international.
Hey, Eustace, you got a hair clip? Hairpin?
International news here. Let's see what we got.
No, well, this is kind of a relation of the discordance we're having in society. Florida tourist dies after being punched by a man.
This is not international.
No, that's New York
he
City.
He apparently mistook for an Uber driver.
In Florida?
No, this guy
a Florida
goes
man.
Up to New York.
Oh, Florida, but it's still not international. I feel cheated.
No, because that guy wasn't from this country. No, the guy wasn't from this country.
Florida tourist died in New York after he was punched by a man he probably thought was an Uber driver. Sander Sabo.
See, okay, it is international.
Okay, 35. Sounds Russian.
I'm not a Sabo.
Died on Tuesday after being taken off life support, his family told the news. Sabo was reportedly trying to return his brother's Long Island City
hotel. Where
was
the whimsy
room.
In the story? The guy died.
He reportedly knocked on the window of a parked SUV.
And he made the funniest face.
Yeah, you know, and this was enough to fucking piss off somebody, get out of the car and say, you think I'm a fucking Uber driver?
Well, first of all, the guy was drunk, number one. Number two, and just pounding on the window, the guy who hit him is a fucking assistant football coach at Vanderbilt University.
What?
Yeah. So just imagine how
big. All right,
well,
so then there's your hook.
He's got to be a big guy. No, it was a left hook, but it was a hook, all right.
Dumbass.
Can somebody just type up Shaggy Sprinkles? What does that say?
That's my nickname.
Oh, Skippy Sprinkles. That's my buddy and comedian friend in the Seattle area. Damn, you do.
It's the LASIK.
Oh, you got LASIK surgery?
How long ago did you get it done?
About 15 years. About 15 years ago.
Who'd you endorse?
It was the Cincinnati Eye Institute. We did it as a Halloween promotion actually showed my eye getting operated on over the webcam.
With that, while that it was thing, happening. It looks like a cigar cutter comes across your freaking eye and slices that. I wrote some spots for this one of the first LASIK guys down here, and he made me watch this shit. And I'll tell you something, I almost puked.
I had a cousin who
you got to watch. They shave your eye with this. It looks like a cigar cutter,
right?
Raise it.
But the original format of that surgery, they actually took a scalpel, and then 2 weeks later they did the other eye. My other cousin, who isn't the cousin who did the butt stuff in the hospital, she was one of the first people to have that done.
Really?
And so she's like laying miserable in so much pain with a patch over her eye for 2 whole weeks before she could finally open her eye. And then good news, now we get to do the other one.
Yeah.
So she had to
fuck.
Dude, that's this awful. The whole thing about this, like, I got to get an implant done now. Got to get with
breasts.
No, not breast implants.
He'd never leave the house.
I'm getting a second dick, dumbass. Yeah. I'm going to get a penile. No, my jaw, the back tooth back here. The last guy who tried to do a root canal destroyed the tooth, man. Even left some of the drill in there.
You got to go to my guy, man.
I got a guy. I got people.
Yeah, okay.
You know, everybody's trying to make trade. I got people, you know.
What are you going to do with a second dick?
You know.
He has two hands.
Yeah.
What are you kidding me?
I'm ambidextrous.
He can put his beer here.
I'm practicing to be on the crew team.
Right. It'll be detachable, so occasionally you can use it as a prostate massager.
I'm going to be on a ship myself. I'm going to be like, you know, like Conan, getting all big.
O'Brien.
Yeah.
You ever see Wendy Williams, the TV show?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here's a little fun trick for
you. I love him.
Okay. Look at a picture of Wendy Williams, and then look at a picture of James Earl Jones in Conan just before he turns into the snake.
No kidding.
Put them side by side. You'll be amazed.
Yeah.
No, listen, you can
picture that.
Put Pat Ewing in a wig and put him next to
Wendy. That works too.
Okay, yeah. So don't bullshit me, pal.
Who was bullshitting you?
Huh? I think you were. I think you gave me
your
look.
Go fuck yourself.
Huh? If I could do that, if I could do that, I wouldn't be sitting here.
Well, he's getting a second dick.
Yeah, all right. And sucking his own tit.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Now this gets, you were just in Chicago, but this just happened to Bay Truck.
This is not international.
Not international also.
Unless
this better be a foreign name. This better be like Ahmed Akbar.
A Bay Truck of Nike shoes left in
Nike. There it is, Japanese.
Yeah, that's Chinese Portland, by the way. They're out of Portland.
No, they're made in China or somewhere. They were Japanese. They were sold to China.
By the way, I was by their main their home office there. It's amazing buildings out there.
Is there a big stripe on the fucking thing?
Yeah, big swoosh. It says swoosh.
A swoosh.
Let's do it.
They just got their some previous employees are trying to saying that they're very very troubling work environment, very competitive, very male dominated. People are coming out trying to make them look bad. Bay trucks of Nike shoes left in black Chicago community during railroad sting, and some of the people came out. Some of the community came out and were mad about it.
I don't understand a word you just said.
So it was black market Nike shoes.
So they had a bait truck, like you have a bait.
What he says.
You ever see like a bait bike? Like they'll put a bicycle unlocked on the street, and somebody will try to steal it. A bait car.
Like worms.
A truck.
I did not.
You want to fish for trucks?
I did not realize you were so in touch with the underground black market community that you knew all the hip lingo.
Bait truck.
A bait truck. No, he watched.
You never saw those things where people take a. They'd steal the bike or a car. They leave the car there and they catch these car
thieves.
They
had a TV show, with this bucking where they would put cars on the streets. And watch these, just what great TV.
But police took a bait truck. It was a big truck with Nike shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't mention the police did it. That would have been integral to the
right.
It could have been like a
riot.
It could have been like the rival Adidas gang going against the rival Nike
gang. There's no such thing, Rob.
Sure, okay.
A Bay truck.
Yeah, gangs never go
Bay truck. Bay truck of Nike shoes left in black Chicago community. Who's going to leave a Bay truck? The local archdiocese? The local Moose Lodge? The cops are going to let that out?
Those would be altar boys, not shoes.
All right. So is this bad to do? I mean... Community members confronted a circle of police in Chicago's Inglewood neighborhood after a bait truck filled with Nike shoes and allegedly left open.
What size?
I'd hope everything.
Yeah, you'd have to do various.
We'd probably like nines, tens.
Who donates these Nike shoes, by the way?
They're in the boxes. They just
Where do they get them? The police got to go and get these shoes. Where they go? They go into fucking Sports Authority?
They get it from the guy who is getting money under the table at the Nike shop where they build the things.
And then
they sell them out of the back.
I'll bet you one thing that they're fucking empty boxes, and they just buy the boxes in there.
My point, you know, when I look at some people say this is going to be racial, it's this and that. You're trying to catch who the fuck, like, if you saw a box, if you saw a car, like a fucking truck with a bunch of sneakers in there, just wide open in the middle of a parking lot, would you go up and grab one?
Would you ever buy speakers from the guy going in the parking lot? What's the difference?
They're empty.
Well, exactly. Is this too good to be true?
It's too
good to be true.
But if you're not going to buy anything, why would you buy shoes as opposed to sneakers? Why would you buy anything from anybody who picks you up in a parking lot?
But
these people
aren't buying it. These people are just walking and grabbing it. Like, you know, hey, like it's open. Why wouldn't you?
Right.
You remember that, by the way? How fucked up was that? That old scam.
Oh, my
God. Where somebody, you'd be in a parking lot, right? And some guy would pull up in a van and go, hey, man.
Got some speakers.
I'm running late on a fucking delivery, and I got extra speakers here. I got to get rid of them. I don't want to drive all the way back.
Yeah.
You know?
What about the plants? The plants, they used to buy the plants. Somebody would come up. Because they steal these people who are landscapers, somebody, and they go to plant some plants in some industrial park, okay?
Sure.
They pull up with a fucking truck, and they steal 50 of them, and they stop you. Want to buy a plant?
Yeah, They walk into our office and go, hey, you want a plant for the office? Like,
right.
No.
I say, how much? They say 20. I say, I'll give you 10, and they give it to you. And I used to buy these gorgeous rubber trees and all this shit because they were just stealing them from themselves.
But the trick with those speakers were they look good. They put them in nice cabinets and everything, but the wiring was all like... shit wiring, right?
There wouldn't be a woofer one of the two things would be missing. The tweeter or the woofer would be missing from the inside of the fucking.
Right? Do you remember?
I always
liked
the.
Heard that?
I always liked the phony bootleg T-shirt people before a concert.
Yeah,
where like you can go inside and spend $40 to buy a Foo Fighters shirt,
right?
Or you can get the one from Lumpy outside for
$10,
but $5 after the show, and God forbid it has any color in it. Because then you wash it with everything else that's in there, and everything in your stuff is blue and pink.
Those are the worst.
Yeah.
Right? Remember how important concert T-shirts were?
Like, what do you mean, were?
I mean, well.
They still are.
I know, but
that's
the only way these artists
make money right now, pal.
Really? The merchandise?
A lot of them.
No one buys records anymore. It's okay to steal music, so why bother
fucking Todd Rundgren on his newest seat release called White Knight has a song called Buy My Tea. Buy My Tea. Buy my hoodie, and it's all about fucking, you can download for free, he says there's a line, download for free, but you gotta buy my tea.
That's why...
it's fucking great.
That's why metal bands have it all over every other band out there right now trying to make a living, because they learned very early the value of a badass t-shirt.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I have shirts back from the old She days. I still have these fucking Guns N' Roses. I have all these shirts I saved in Ziplocs and shit that we, you know, because they were a lot looser.
I go on Target.com and I got my AC/DC shirts. And I got,
You know, there's a rumor that Brian Johnson and Phil Rudd have been playing again.
Really?
So that leads that maybe Axl DC is done, which would make me insanely happy because Axl Rose in AC/DC, I would rather rub a rat on my testicles and then teabag a boa constrictor than listen to Axl Rose sing with AC/DC.
Yeah, you feel strongly about this.
Yes, I have. I'm one of the multitudes. I'm not special, but I was at one of those shows where he never showed up. It was 12:30 in the morning. He still didn't show up, so fuck Axl Rose.
He's an asshole. I can't stand him, man. I never thought he was a good singer. I hated the screaming.
By the way, my buddy Joey says on Facebook, like, big guy needs a Snickers to keep up.
I don't know what that means.
Well, let me ask you something.
You know what? Dougie's going to have two dicks here in a little bit. Put one to good use.
What about your boy from Aerosmith, Steven Tyler?
What about him?
AC/DC. Got that voice for that or no?
His voice could handle anything. But
now,
Tyler's at the point where he doesn't have to do anything else.
No, you're just saying. Just
by the way, Steven Tyler, I saw him access concerts, and you can hear when he's got some voice track laid in there for some of the high notes. Oh, he's got that happening, right?
Yeah. No, they...
Because you see him turn, and you can hear, like, you know, that...
No, they... And also, they harmonize that shit, or that... Hey, listen, half the time, Billy Joel's got what's his name singing those high parts in the background.
Right.
Billy Joel's backup singer is a guy who sang in a Billy Joel tribute act called Big Shot.
Exactly.
And now then Billy Joel's people went to see him, said, we need to bring this guy out on tour. Mm-hmm. So now this guy's the one hitting all the high notes.
This is like Rockstar. This is like the movie with Mark Wahlberg, right?
A little bit. Although, right, that, although that movie was based on the Judas Priest guy who stepped in.
Mm. Oh, yeah?
So, yeah.
That's I thought that was...
Ripper Owens was the guy's name.
How fucking great. You know, because who didn't do that? Like, I was a kid. I used to fucking play air guitar and shit. Like, you know, and I played... Then I started playing guitar and singing. I'm like, oh, my God, how great would it be if you... Because U2 used to do that. I saw U2 several times, like eight, nine times. They would always... grab somebody from the audience and play the guitar.
Dave Grohl does it all the time with the Foos.
Fucking great is that?
Right. There's a little, hey, look.
Are these people chosen beforehand? Are these people really just that lucky?
It depends. The let's see. Arnel Pineda sings for Journey now, and he was found over YouTube.
Yeah, right. YouTube.
There's like this Filipino guy, and they just called him up and said, they called him up and said, "Can you do this?" And his attitude is actually so good with that because he openly says, this is Steve Perry's band. If Steve Perry ever wants in the door, I will graciously step aside.
For the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing.
Yeah.
He's
always been very open about that.
My daughter is banging their keyboard player.
Stop
bragging. His son. she's a fucking whore, that kid.
What? Jeez.
Anyway.
What a
they're
dad.
All the same, man.
What a dad.
God, you don't know what having children's like, man. That's why these Mexicans are leaving these kids.
I'm the ultimate uncle.
Yeah.
Because I can, they'll laugh their asses off. They'll learn an inappropriate song that you, as a parent, probably wouldn't want them to learn.
Right. Now I teach
them. Then when they're annoying, I give them back.
Hey, right. You know, here's a great dad story.
Is it international?
It could be. Dad devastated to discover he was grieving for daughter at the wrong grave for over 30 years.
Oh, yeah. They moved it on him. They didn't tell him.
Yeah. A British man.
There you go. International.
Thank you. It's from across the pond.
Is
a British man.
Do the accent again. Do the whole story in that accent.
The British man said he felt let down after discovering he was mourning.
Now do more like John Cleese.
His daughter at the wrong grave for 30 years.
That's John Cleese?
No,
I'm trying.
No.
More like John Cleese. I can't do John Cleese.
Do John Lennon.
John Lennon.
Yeah, don't say anything.
Joe Salt.
He's dead.
Told the BBC his daughter Victoria died in July of 1988, 2 days. After she was born, the family buried the girl at the Southern Cemetery in Manchester.
You're a hooker.
Matter of fact, that was my request when I die. I want my cremated remains to be thrown in front of the goal on Old Trafford.
I want a salad bar.
Can we do it next
coffee.
Saturday? I'm free next Saturday.
The father said he visits the graves twice a year, but was surprised one day to find the grave he thought was Victoria's was empty. She's risen.
And that was a secret, too, by the way.
I stopped listening.
I thought I was there. Stone gone salt.
What was her name?
Stone searched around the cemetery and discovered the headstone at a public grave that contained the remains of Victoria and 16 other people in a different spot.
Wow, man.
It was apparently moved to a vacant spot, but employees discovered this year it was in the wrong area. It moved it back.
It was actually in a nicer neighborhood. And but she
listen, that's why
lake,
I want to be cremated. Because
she wanted the lake view.
I want to be cremated because be cremated because you know I don't want to have you know. There's people that got to worry, move you around, and fucking just get rid of me.
I got news for you both. I have the ultimate. When I die, I'm going to be a snowbird. I want a grave down here, one up in New York.
Yeah,
and I'm going to have a flatbed take me back and forth. You know, halfway through the
family
fucking
members got to pedal you down.
This way, the people can visit me. My friends from down here. I'm here 31 years, New York 31 years. I figure. Let the people
just
share
rent
me.
Like a park bench.
Share me
for you know for I mean? A month.
Hey. I want a salad bar around my coffin.
Yeah,
there'll be a sneeze guard, a five dressing stipulation,
croutons,
balsamic vinaigrette, a ranch, a honey mustard, a light Italian,
and perhaps
a blue cheese.
You need a blue cheese.
And then there's going to be a fat guy playing a banjo. Why?
Why?
Because it's impossible to be sad when there's a fat guy playing a banjo. And then thirdly. Everybody's going to get a treasure map, and they're going to leave in 5-minute increments. And my tombstone's going to have a big X on it, and the fastest one there to find the tombstone gets a big ham.
I love that, man.
Wow,
I think it's a great idea.
If you're going to do it, it's like an elaborate mousetrap game.
Exactly.
I never told you the story, man. And there's probably people at
and you IR never will
who
thanks.
were there because this chick, some of them used to work at QAM or Power or somebody. We had a girl who worked at Beasley, who was the marketing director for like 9 years, and her mother died. I was very friendly with this chick, and her mother was a rip. She'd owned the cigarette and candy stores inside the big hotels on Miami Beach in the day. Sinatra, Gleason, this woman had pictures of her son. She was had a daughter out of wedlock, this chick Doreen. The mother died. Doreen asked me to do her eulogy because her mother asked me before she died. Anyway, I fucking burst in a few minutes late. I called him looking for you. And I told this joke about, I'm sorry, I was officiating a funeral this morning. The guy who wrote the Hokey Pokey died. Terrible funeral. He put his left foot in. Then it was dead. So, and then until Doreen cracked up, the whole fucking place burst. But I had made these 10 by 10 square pieces of paper with the letters FUNERAL, funeral. And I said halfway through, I gave like a 10-minute speech about her mother, how crazy she was, and a lot of fun. And so I brought 8 people up. I said, I need 8 volunteers. So 8 people lined up in front of the cast. I gave them each a letter. It said, funeral. I said, listen, Doreen's mom, she would have wanted you guys to be mourning. Let me show you what she would have wanted you to have today. And I moved it. It said, real fun. And it was unbelievable, man.
Wow. Hey, it's the same letters.
People flipped that. And you know what? The fucking rabbi came up to me and goes, where do you do it? Where are you a... I go, yeah. I don't do this for a living, man. And this, two of the mother's friends wanted me to do their funeral. But you do my funeral.
I wonder.
You pay me in advance.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I need to
cash in advance, like the nightclubs. Sorry,
not a bad thing. Hey, you know what? Why not? Like as a comic, wouldn't that be great? Just have everybody go up and just roast you.
Yeah.
For the last time.
That's what Ralphie Mays was.
Yeah.
There was even a hashtag for it. Please don't ask me to be a pall. It was hashtag please don't ask me to be a pallbearer.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And he said flat out, he said years before he died, nobody says anything sad at my funeral. I want everybody joking.
Yeah, why not? Good spirit.
Mm.
He's part of the reason why I'm in Florida.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I had a buddy of mine that just got... Go ahead.
Let's tell the story. This is fascinating.
No, I was unemployed. Nobody was. I got laid off for the first time in 26 years. No one was hiring, so I spent $1,500, went to Puerto Vallarta for a month, and was getting my certification to teach English overseas. So I was going to teach English in Mexico, then I was going to go out to Asia, and just, you know, that was my plan. A week before I go to Mexico, Ralphie May calls me.
Why didn't you tell me you got laid off in Philly?
You know, I'm like, Ralphie, I called you, texted you, emailed you, and I emailed your publicist. Yeah. So you did know. And he's tended to be a little bit of an airhead in the most lovable way possible. And he goes, dude, you don't want to quit radio. You want to call my boy Paul? Here's his phone number. Tell him I told you to call. And the entire time I was in Mexico, we were negotiating this deal while I was getting the certification.
Ralphie was as class act.
I had a 26 year career before that, but you know what? Seriously, Castronovo called at least half a dozen comics saying, "What do you know about this guy?" Right. And Castronovo eventually called me. Goes, "Dude, does anyone hate you?" Right. And I go, "Yeah, I got an ex that I had arrested on Christmas Eve. She probably wasn't very happy with me."
Right. Yeah, she won't give me a round.
Adam Ferreira, Paul Mercurio, Billy Gardell, all these people. When you're good to people, they have your back. And Ralphie also happened to have to put their belt on with a boomerang.
Ralphie May, Billy Gardell. Who else did you say?
Adam Ferrer.
Oh, okay.
Paul Mercurio. That's about 50% of
that. Okay. Yeah, you were somewhere. You're going there.
All right.
But, dude, there's nothing more important than that. You know, and that's like in comedy, that way. You know, you got to leave a good impression, you know, and you know, except for your own. You know, sometimes coming up in your own areas, you have a little hostility.
Well,
but
how come people hate you so much? Like the Randy Singers and shit, and all those people. I didn't mention his name. RS, Randy Singer.
It doesn't matter what you do for a living. It's, you know, if you're good to people, then the good people will flock around you. And if you are a cancerous personality, that's what you'll attract also. Some people just attract drama.
Peter, no wonder.
Exactly. Dude, listen, shit, my resume is 16 pages long.
I'm telling you.
Oh,
there you go. Hey,
playing your show.
You getting a call there, Peter?
I want to make sure your show was playing on my Facebook, buddy. Thank you.
All right, let's get back.
What do we have, 20 people watching?
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
Driver's test arrest. Think about this. People still get driver's tests. I want to make sure I set this up. Driver's test arrest. Pot, a gun, cash, all found in the guy's car.
Which NBA player was that?
I'm glad I used my dad's car.
Which NBA player was that?
in Glen Burnie, Maryland.
Oh,
not international.
A 22-year-old man who went for his driver's test left in handcuffs after the examiner became suspicious about the certain odor emanating from the car, and it wasn't like model glue. News outlets report the examiner alerted a trooper at the Motor Vehicle Administration office who searched the car. A Maryland State Police report says the search found nearly a pound of marijuana, a scale, and more than $15,000 in cash and a handgun.
So do you think the instructor was afterwards going, you know what, you could pass, you could fail, but if you got an extra 100 and you want some pot, you could probably work something out for you?
Right.
I'm going to go get my car. I'm going to go take a driver's test. I think I'll leave the scale.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want the scale on the car.
No.
Not, and the pillow, the pound of weed.
Mm-hmm.
A pound.
Well, the guy was on his way to make a delivery.
Hold on a second. I'll be buying a little bit. I'm going to take a driver's test first.
Right. That's it.
This is like the other day at the airport. When I went to Pittsburgh, there was a guy in front of me. This guy was pulling shit out of his pockets. He had three sets of keychains. He had fucking coins from all over the world. You know, he had fucking like chess pieces. You know?
Yeah. Chess pieces.
I'm like, what the fuck? What are you taking on the airplane with you?
Well, there's these guys. They were in the Midwest someplace a couple weeks ago, and they had, they got busted with like a street value of $200,000 of meth in the back of their car. And how they got caught was they were going 95 in a 65. If you're carrying that much crap in your car, set the cruise control.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
How much meth you think they were doing? They thought they were doing.
I don't care what your crime is. Yeah. To get pulled over for speeding.
Yeah.
And then getting busted that way is the most idiotic thing. You know,
what if you just robbed a bank?
You might as well just start.
Don't speed.
You might as well just like set
blend in.
Set Roman candles off from the front seat.
Yeah.
You know, while you're doing it.
You
get the point. But, dude, the good thing about that is stupid's becoming stupider. Mm-hmm. Right? And those, they're getting weeded out.
I like the people who commit major crimes in any city, and their big distinguishing factor is that their whole face is tattooed. Like, that really narrows down the search grid.
Yeah. They might as well have something on the forehead said, yeah, it's me.
Right.
I'm the one.
Or just your address, your phone number.
Yeah, social security number.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get my social security number on my forehead.
There was a bank teller who somebody threw in just like a, I'm going to rob you, give me all your money. And she goes, I can't open the thing unless I see your ID. He goes, okay.
Oh, yeah, that was a recent
check. Yeah, I love those stories. That's the most brilliant bank teller ever. It's so easy. Yeah.
Now, you got to be careful with that because, you know, working at a bank, you can get fired if you do anything to try to
cause
anybody getting hurt. They can get rid of you. I worked at banks for years as a financial guy in the bank, and I've been through a few, mostly the robberies like that, where they give a note and they give them the money and the dye packs and...
Many moons ago in Cincinnati, there was a girl I dated. She sang in a band, and we lost contact because that's just what happens sometimes. And about 2 years later, I get a phone call from her, and I'm like, how did you get my number? She goes, oh, I work over at the bank, and I knew you had an account there, so I looked up all your information. I'm like, that's not the least bit creepy at all. Thanks for thinking of me. Jesus Christ.
I know.
What'd she look like?
She looked like a Janis Joplin wannabe hippie chick.
Hmm.
All right. So you fuck her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
see,
at least
but you slept with one eye open in
my Svelte days when I worked at the Hard Rock station and I first learned that girls would like you for your job.
Right,
that wasn't really a big challenge.
Yeah,
that was that was just like next.
Listen, if it had the new Aerosmith CD and a T-shirt, you were getting laid. Trust me.
Oh, for about a year and a half, I was king whore of the world, and then everything went to hell.
Yeah, but you can only do that for a while, right? After
too
a while,
much restaurant.
You're opening too much. It's like opening Pandora. Doris box.
Yeah,
you know.
Actually, you know what happened? This is a true story. There was a girl who, you know, I met her in a bar. She was drinking and she was drunk off her ass, and that's what we all did. So I didn't think anything of it, and went to her place, and we did what we did, and it was a magical whatever. And then a couple weeks later, we decided to do it again. So she's coming over to my place, and I go down to meet her at her car because I'm a gentleman.
Yeah.
And I see she has this thing attached to her steering wheel. I've never seen anything like it. And I'm like, what is that?
Oh,
and
Jesus.
She goes, oh, the fucking judge won't let me start my car unless I blow into this thing.
Oh.
And I could smell inside the car. And I go, well, you're hammered now. How did you start the car? Ah, I had my kid do it.
Right.
I'm like, you know what? Here's $25. Don't drive. Go home. never talked to me again. I became a hermit for like 6 months. I was like, I'm giving something away that's supposed to be at least a little special between a friend.
Right.
And I can't. It just made me feel absolutely.
What are you referring to? Your penis or?
Being king whore of the world for that long, you know what I mean?
He was I gotcha.
It should be at least a little special.
He was a whore with respect. He would go. He would go downstairs and open the door.
You should have made you blow her. I mean, have her blow you first.
I'll drive. Just fuck this.
Here's a breathalyzer for you, honey.
I was so disgusted by that scene and everything. I actually became a hermit for like 6 months. I couldn't socialize with anybody just because it was just like, oh my God.
And it wasn't her cut. It was actually the fact that she was.
Well, she had a strap on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the pegging is in the. All right. That's enough. Anyway.
The fact that you know that's what it's called gives us all kinds of insight into your two penis thing.
Yeah. Well, listen, I know shit. You know.
Have to be. When you're a comic, you've got to be.
You got to know references.
He goes into Dope Video Warehouse and he memorized the whole back row of.
Yeah, just in case you need to come up with some like phrasing.
Right. Now, he knows felt. He should write a felching, all this stuff.
Yeah, anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Wait a second.
Coming up next, it's Dougie Blumpkin.
Hold on. I drove from fucking Delray for an hour. Is that it?
Yeah, we do an hour. We've been doing an hour show for about 3 years.
Well, let's record. I know.
Does anybody ever, like, message, wait a minute, no, an hour's not enough. Encore, more.
Yeah, we get a lot of, you know, believe it or not.
Just not today?
Just not today. I mean, it's a Saturday. It's the first time we haven't done a show on Saturday.
Everybody saying slappy sprinkles, and then one guy who pointed out, like, I didn't wake up this morning and I looked at, oh my God, what happened? Yeah, I was aware. Thank you. And then what? No one else says anything.
No. But, a couple people joined in.
You should invite like a Q&A. Ask Dougie.
Hey, well, we could do this, by the way. If somebody ever wants to get on, we can actually figure out to do it.
You get free tickets to Dougie's next show and an unlimited bar tab for the next person who asks a relevant question.
By the way, I'll say this. August 29th, the next big show, Tavolino's, is Jimmy Schubert. Coming to town.
Philadelphia guy.
Yeah, funny. Fucking so great. He's going to be in town. He's going to be sitting in the studio as well. And then we're also going to be at the Comedy Inn in Miami.
I love how nobody wants tickets to the show in an unlimited bar tab.
Well, they know I'll give them to them free. Anyway.
The unlimited bar tab, too?
Yeah. I'm a good guy. Listen, you think you're a gentleman.
All you have to do, if you go to any of those comedy clubs, you walk up and you say, I'm the third guy up, and the bartender gives you free drinks.
Yeah. Yeah, big show, so come out and see that.
What was the date of
that? August 29th, Wednesday.
Where at?
At Tavolino's.
Is there an address?
They'll know it.
Is there possibly a website?
No.
They don't do that.
What about for Dougie Almeida?
Go to DougieAlmeida.com. Get the dates.
Isn't that like Dangerous Dougie or something?
That's my Twitter. And Instagram is at Dougie Dangerous.
Not FM.
What have you ever done that's actually dangerous?
His wife.
I mean, listen, I flew
into Cambodia to rescue her.
I've shot people, been shot at, had a gun in my head several times.
But what did you do?
What I do?
You said you're dangerous. All of us have been.
I've broken someone's necks, separated shoulders.
Was it your MMA days?
No, that was in physical confrontation days. MMA, all kinds of stuff.
Loaded belts up there.
Yeah. Let's get
this is bathrobe belts, by the way.
It's all fun and games until someone has to decide to turn someone's lights out and let everybody do that.
Penn and Teller on their show Bullshit had a martial arts is bullshit episode, and it was great because their whole thesis was if martial arts was really valid, with as many martial arts places as every day you'd hear some story about some crime being foiled through martial arts and you never hear anything.
Yeah,
right.
Well, listen, I'll tell you this. There's a big difference. This is where dangerous comes from. There's a big difference between knowing something or training at something and actually having that mechanism in your mind.
Implementing it when it matters.
And being able to fucking turn someone's lights out and you know what I mean, or jumping. We talked about that hero complex. You know, we had a story last week about this female cop that was on a bridge, and this kid jumped off the fucking bridge.
Right.
And she jumped over after him to save him, risking her own life and shit. You know, not everybody's going to do that.
And she
you could do yoga. You could do physical shit, you know.
You don't know what you're made of until you're put up against it.
That's right.
It.
Right.
Anyway.
So next time I come in, if I'm ever invited again, I want this to be more organized.
Yeah.
I want there to be actual international news after
all right,
the
I'll get together
some
international.
And we want to see you at Second Dick.
And don't blow all of your stories before you play the news sounder if there's not a definite separation.
Right. All right. You talk about our lives first.
Yeah, we I know we do, but this is the first time
on the show. You introduced him properly. You know, I'm well. I haven't been here in a few months. It would be nice to refresh people as to what's happening in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Every 10 minutes or so. Hey, by the way, for those who just joined in, this is Peter. This
is Wake
Rob.
Up. Yeah,
that way you're reintroducing people.
Yeah, this is an hour, not a 4-hour show.
No, but people pop in. There's something called TSL, man. And the average
listen, the people that just pop in.
Hour. Okay. Right.
No, but see, here's the thing, though. Like, the people who just popped in, like, who's the fat guy? You know, then they're going to say, oh, yeah, this is Rob from the podcast.
We didn't know Doug had a twin. Hey, listen, I have, my show.
All that stupid shit after is not going to help
listen,
that comment.
Hey, you should come to Avant.
Do you use that joke with every person who has a weight issue?
No, you should come to Avant. Hey, come on to my show, too.
You go to some fat lady. Hey, I didn't know Doug had a twin.
Listen, you can come to Avant also for a Sunday broadcast from the Food for Thought radio show. We'd love to have you. Doug, you should pop by a little. You got Peter Wien on that show.
You were Peter Wien.
There's nothing smooth.
I'm weaning him away,
but you know, I got Amanda Cat back there.
Oh, nice.
Gorgeous Amanda. But there come by, have some fucking great food, man.
Well.
Rob, what's the latest you've ever gone over your hour?
About this much.
Really? So this is like a record?
Yeah, we're
is it a record or is it almost a record?
When we do our show, we're at the record mark.
Okay, well, I gotta go. Away.
Well, no.
Good night, everybody.
Because usually a little over 3-4 minutes sometimes on normal.
What are we at now?
About 6 minutes over.
And that's the longest over you've ever gone.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's going to actually be editing that entire conversation.
Yeah, I'm going to say goodnight. Goodnight, sisters.
The last 8
minutes, everybody.
It'll be like a 3-minute podcast. Hey, how you doing? It's me. See you later. Here's my plug.
That's it. Well, you're still there. This has been fun. Peter Leonard, thanks for coming back.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
And check out Peter Leonard on the Food for Thought radio show.
Correct.
On the WEI network.
And also on Facebook.
And on Facebook Live. And, of course, join Rob on the Paul Casanova show Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. 105.9.
WBGG.
Big 105.9.
WBGG. And iHeart radio station.
You got Toast is coming back in September.
Radio app,
And it's exciting. And
it might even be sooner than that.
Oh, yeah?
We'll find out.
Well, stay tuned to the show, and thanks for having me and everything for helping me out on that show as well.
Happy to do it.
You know,
keep bringing the funny; you'll keep coming back.
There you go. That's
not like last time you were up.
Yeah. No, don't.
I'll show you the text right now.
thanks, guys. We'll be back on Monday with all the shows with new shows: Ciro Dobrik and of course Ethan Moore, and Elgin David and Danny the Jew. Actually, next week Nadeem Awad's going to be in the studio with me because we're going to go do a show in Daytona.
Yeah,
On Tuesday night.
You need me to fill in, by the way, at any point.
Yeah,
please give me a
phone. I got something you can fill in. Yeah. Anyway, thanks guys for watching, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah,
went right back. Okay.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun.